A colossal monster, a city in ruins, no way out, except inside of the all-electric Toyota CHR. John Cho stars in Escape. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, late one night, two friends watched the silhouette of a tall man standing outside of the house. They went to the door, and within seconds, they wanted to see what he wanted, but no one was there. So, what did they both see?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Is Real Ghost Stories Online, and if you have a real ghost story, we would really like to hear it, so you can call it in, 855-853-4802. You can write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Remember, hit follow wherever you are listening, and remember, we are back on YouTube, so you can actually watch us there if you are brave enough to do so. So I have a question for Todd and Lisa, who are joining me today. What's the deal with shadow people? Like, what is it? What are they? Have you, like, what? Because it's like, have you ever seen one? I'll start with you, Lisa. Have you seen a shadow person?
I don't know if what I saw was a shadow person. I don't know if what I saw was a shadow person or if it was a ghost, but I do remember lying in my bed in Bastrop, Louisiana, of all places, and
playing her banjo.
No, I was anyway, I was lying in my bed. It was night. My husband was somewhere else, and through the bedroom door, a shadow came and kind of did a little motion, kind of almost like a, not a dance, but a twirling sort of thing. I got the feeling that it was turning around and then went right through the wall and out of the house. So I don't know if it was a shadow person or if it was a ghost or if it was a sprite or a spirit or what it was. I've never been able to figure out what that was, but there definitely was something that came through the bedroom door, just went through the bedroom door, did its little thing, and then went out.
Did it scare the shit out of you, or were you pretty calm? Like, how did you react to it?
I was calm because I didn't have my glasses on. Without my glasses, Todd can attest to this, I can't see anything. I mean,
could you kind of convince yourself, like, what I'm seeing isn't really what I'm seeing?
I thought it was my husband at first because it was not tall, and my husband is not. That husband was not that one. That one was short. But I didn't know. So I really don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just energy, if it was a shadow person, if it was a ghost, what it was. But something came and it was dark. It was not light or anything like that. But it was a dark shadow through the bedroom door, did its little I'm happy dance, and then through the wall. And Todd's going, oh, Lord, this woman.
Well, my question was, had you had any kind of hallucinogenics beforehand?
I had not.
Wine or anything, right?
Nope.
I mean, that's nothing?
Nothing.
You were clean?
I was clean. I was really clean, as a matter of fact. This was
like hysterically even, clean.
This is hysterically clean. This was pre depression medication, too. So, I mean, the only thing I could have possibly had on was my
pressure medication. I got you.
Are you clean right now? Or are you?
That's what's so funny. I don't know.
Are
why
you
I'm
drinking? Because once in a while, we've been known to have a cocktail on this show.
No, I got water in one hand, Diet Coke in the other.
Todd, have you ever seen a shadow person?
You know, sometimes you get those fleeting things where you think you see something, but also like Lisa, like I've got really bad eyesight, so I don't trust a lot of that. The one time I did see something was at an investigation at the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay. There was this huge room and it was filled with engines and boxcars and all that kind of stuff as part of the museum. And we were investigating there, and we used a laser grid, which puts all these dots of light in an area that you shine it. And we were seeing for a long time, 15, 20 minutes, this shadow peek out from behind this pillar. And it kept kind of coming out and then going back. And we couldn't see what it was. We could just see that the light was no longer reflecting on the wall. So the shadow would come out and then go back. And then it kind of took off. And one of the people investigating with us, the producer and director of the show that we were doing at the time, ran after it with the camera and actually caught it running up onto this big old locomotive and running into the, like, the engine room. But in person, that's the only time that I've ever seen a shadow figure like that. And it was very tall, extremely tall.
I was going to mention that to you, Todd, if you hadn't mentioned it, that I really think that was a shadow person.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. It was the creepiest thing that I've ever seen with my own eyes.
Absolutely.
And so, like, because I wonder, there's shadow people and, you know, a lot of people with the top hat or the hat man.
Yep.
I don't understand why that's a thing. Why? Maybe they're just the cool ones and they're like, I've got a hat.
But, and they all talk with an English accent.
Exactly. Yes. Like, what are we all from the 1870s or something? I don't know. But then why do you see shadow people? Why do you see, like, hat men? I don't ever hear a bonnet women. It just sounds more like hat man.
Yeah, but it's always the woman in the white
apparitions.
Dress.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So you see the woman in white, the lady in black. It's, you know, the apparitions. So what's the hierarchy? What are they connected in any way? Do they coexist? Do they even know of each other?
Yeah.
Do you think that shadow people could be, and I've mentioned this before, somebody from a different dimension that is close to ours and is maybe overlapping?
And could be. some of them think that hats are a thing.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like, it's in their little realm. It's super fashionable right now to be wearing hats, like it was in Abe Lincoln's day. Everybody had those silly stovepipe hats.
Or could it be us as humans seeing something that we can't necessarily describe correctly, and it's the only way for our minds to describe what we think we're seeing? That's kind of what I feel like the woman in the white dress kind of thing. I don't know that the spirit is actually wearing a white dress. Maybe it's a misty apparition kind of thing, and our minds automatically try to add it up and say, well, that's, she's wearing a white dress. And maybe it has nothing to do with a white dress. It's our mind trying to make sense out of what we're experiencing.
And that's a very human thing to do. Our minds are built to create images out of things that do not have images. You know, we create faces in things that we see and things like that. No other animal that I know of does that. Of course, they can't tell us if they do, but that's beside the point.
Because then there's another, where people have reported seeing something that was so real. It was like, you or me, you know, it's just a real person that just disappeared. So I find it really interesting how all these different types, the shadow people, an apparition, and what appears to be an actual person. Because we had a story a while back about a woman who was in she went to her apartment. She had passed a car accident on the way home that night, got in her apartment and saw a woman walk through her apartment. And stopped to see her dogs. Like, she petted her dogs. And her dogs seemed to respond to this woman, but not in a scary way. And she just walks through her apartment. And then she found out that the woman had died in the accident. It was very, very close to her apartment. And she had worked with dogs.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if she worked at a dog shelter or it was a dog trainer. I don't remember now. But to me, that's so interesting that how you can have such different types of paranormal sightings. And where do they all fit in? This is a really deep conversation.
It is, because actually, I also think like shadow figures and things, like some spirits or some energies, I think were human, but I also think that there's some out there that are not human, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're evil and all that kind of stuff. They're just not necessarily human. It's energy that's created from either nature or from other humans, blah, blah, blah. And when we experience it, again, I think sometimes our mind tends to go, well, it's got to be a ghost. It's got to be a human. It's got to look like a human. So, I mean, I've seen investigation footage where there was tons of shadow people, but they were literally like 2 or 3 feet tall at the most. And they are just flying around the room.
Ooh.
You know what? That's not a human. What is that? We don't know.
Yeah. So maybe it is some other kind of dimension thing that they're kind of crossing over. I don't know. Well, let's dive into the story and see what it's all about.
Okay.
Hey, how you guys doing? My name is Nick. I'm calling. I'm a new listener. By the way, what you guys are doing is great. I recently came across it, and I love the podcast. My story begins like this. About the summer of, I do believe, 05. At the time, I was living with my best friend. This happened to happen at night where he lives. We live in the city of Los Angeles, right outside of Los Angeles. And it's a pretty packed city, you know. So we're not out in the woods or anything like that. My friend had about 8-foot iron, an iron fence, okay, all around the house. So this one night, I do believe it's a Friday night, and we're at the house. And we're getting ready to go out to some type of party or whatever. No one's there. He lived with only his mom. Nobody's there. His mom's out and doing something. I do believe it was late. We were going out to this party really late. It was about 11, 12 o'clock. Matter of fact, no, it was exactly 12. What happened, it happened exactly at 12 o'clock because he had this big old stand-up clock that rang at midnight. And I remember because this is what happened. So we're in the living room on our cell phones talking to whoever. He's on one couch, I'm on the other couch. And outside he had sensor lights. Now keep in mind, I said that around this whole house is 8-foot iron fence. The sensor light goes off. And he's on the phone and I'm looking at my phone. And we just happen to look up. Now through the blinds, we see the shadow of a man just standing there. Now the shadow was on the like on the floor, and we're like, we look up, we see it, and we look at each other, and immediately we get up, we hop up off the couches, we go to it, we see it, I literally see it run, and we're thinking, all right, somebody's in the yard. So what? Right when we hit the door, and I'm talking, this is a matter of seconds. There was nobody there. And I remember that. I'll always remember that to this day. It was like the weirdest thing I've ever seen. There was no explanation for it. There was nobody in the yard. There was no way. If there was somebody in the yard, they could have scaled that iron fence. And recently I came across the shadow people, and that topic is a totally different story. But I don't know what it was. I didn't feel like scared by it or evil presence or anything like that. It was just the weirdest, unexplainable thing that ever happened. We've talked about it. We went, we looked around, we looked down the street right after. There was just nobody there. And this shadow was like a man, a tall man. And yeah. So that's my story. I don't know if anybody else has ever had similar experiences, but yeah. Thank you guys. Keep up the good work, and I hope to hear my story. Take it easy.
Well, you know, that's a thing. I think a lot of people have had a similar experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot really of people do. Who I've seen one. You guys have both seen one. And I don't know what they are. It's like, what's the purpose of that? And he's right. Like, if you see somebody and you've got I have a 6-foot privacy fence, you can't just jump 6 foot. I can't imagine 8. You know, you'd have to climb up on something. You would catch him in the act.
Right, exactly. Right. And that's why I think sometimes there's a lot of stuff we can't answer. So we try to, but we don't have the answers.
I would like to be able to have the answers.
Maybe one day we will, but maybe we're never meant to really totally understand any of this. As far as we've come in paranormal research and all that kind of stuff, we still can't say that whatever we're communicating with is exactly what we think it is. It's just impossible.
And are you really getting that? You know, and I do think a lot of times in investigations, especially like, you see people post on different pages like, look at this picture. Do you see it? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Or do you hear it? And then they'll be like, they say fever. Well, now that you've said that, that's what I'm hearing. I don't think I would have. So I know we can all be influenced to also see kind of, oh, yeah, I hear that now or I see that. But it's like, I think all these people are spending all this effort, and I would love to know, like, somebody get something definitive. That would be awesome.
What would it take for you, Carol?
I don't know.
Because I think for each person, it's different. You know, you look at religion and faith and stuff like that. Some people are just very willing to accept and believe without necessarily always truly being shown. And that's not taking anything away from religion, but we're like that in our life. You know, we go to school, whatever the person at the front of the classroom tells us, we believe. We go to church, whatever the person at the front of the church tells us, we believe. So in your instance, did you hear them say fever? Well, now that you say it, I hear it, but I didn't hear it myself. And I think that, you know, we could all do better in life if we all did a little more thinking for ourselves, critical thinking.
Well, that applies in a number of different areas.
Absolutely. But you know. And certainly in paranormal, too. Like, we can all have different ideas of what these things are.
And Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lisa.
No, I was just going to say, I would say that seeing video or film or something of that can help.
Sure.
But I also think that maybe once you see it in person, when you know that there's no way for somebody to have manipulated, video or whatever, that might make a difference. So maybe for Carol to believe of shadow people, she'd need to see one.
And I have, and I don't know what it was. And that's why it would be awesome if somebody would say, here's exactly what you saw that day. And here's why that happened.
Do you think we're ever going to get to that in our lifetime? No. Although, I mean, when you think about it, in the past 50 years, technology has jumped so high from where it was, say, in 1976, that maybe technology will finally get it where we can see between dimensions or.
But even then, I don't think people would ever agree. You know, there's a lot of people waiting for Jesus to come back. And I'm telling you, if he showed up tomorrow, they wouldn't agree it's him. There would be arguments. There would be fights over it. It's like, he's not. We're still waiting for the real one. It's like, what would he have to do to convince people? I am the real one. Because no matter what he'd do, they'd be like, David Copperfield did that. You know, he made the Statue of Liberty disappear. What have you got? And he'd be like, I can turn water into wine, please.
Please.
So can we.
Circle turns water into something delicious all the time. There's stuff that can happen.
Yeah. So I just think it would be tough for anybody to, like, nobody's ever going to agree. Don't you think that with paranormal investigations?
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people, there are a lot of people that could be working together. And some do. There are groups that do. And there are groups that want to know what other people have discovered at various locations. But there's also kind of
there's a lot of shade.
Yeah,
there's a lot of shade out there in the paranormal world. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I have some of my own. Like, I know what I kind of believe. And it's not that if somebody else has different thoughts or opinions that I'm not willing to listen. But the person who says something is a ghost and it's this and it's this person from this year and blah, blah, blah. I have a hard time with that. We just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I find it very interesting. We could talk about this all day. Let's do another phone call.
This is Brittany from California. I called them once before about when I was little, something happened to me. And right now, there's a few things happening to my son that are concerning. I moved in with my husband and his parents into our room, which is a garage that is converted into a bedroom. And I would sleep on one side of the bed, you know, and then you get two pregnant and they're like, okay, you need to lay on your left side. So, you know, when I sleep, I always have to face the TV. So to lay on my left side, I switch sides with my husband. When I would lay on that side, I would feel like someone would rush up to me and grab me by my shoulders and shake me and tell me, you know, wake up, or, you know, just scream in my ear. And it got to the point where I would hear, you know, my name whispered into my ear, and I would tell my husband in the morning, you know, were you trying to wake me up or something, you know, and he would tell me no. And then it got to the point where I would wake up with bloody noses. And the odd thing is my sister-in-law, she lived with us. She would wake up with bloody noses the same night that I would. And I asked her about it, and she's just like, oh no, you know, it's nothing, you know, it's probably just the room. But then we got talking, and she was telling me how she doesn't like the playroom because she feels like someone watches her, and she doesn't like the kitchen because there feels like a man in the kitchen. And I completely agree with her. Like, when you're washing dishes, you feel like there's someone creeping up behind you. But I just brush it off like, oh, you know, it's just my pregnancy dreams and whatnot. But then it kind of escalated when, like, I got further along in my pregnancy, probably like a month before I was due. You know, I would have really, 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 really bad contractions, and they would last, like, they felt like labor contractions. So I would go to the hospital, and then they would just completely stop, like, with no medication, nothing whatsoever, and they would tell me I'm fine. I would go home, go back to sleep, and then the same thing. But it would be rougher, where they would split me over and shake me and try to wake me up. And then I would hear people walking around our bed, and I would tell my husband, you know, I would try to wake him up, say, hey, you know, do you hear that? Am I crazy? And then, of course, you know, I had my son, and it was a really rough labor and everything like that. But, you know, we're both fine, and he's 2.5 now. So fast forwarding to now, what's going on is my son, he'll, you know, want to sleep out in the living room on the couch with my dad, who's staying with us right now. And he refuses to look into the kitchen, and like, he'll hide himself under a pillow so like no one can see him. He won't sleep unless his head is covered with a pillow. He was sitting on the couch with me one day, and he looked down the hall, and he started pointing, and he started screaming and yelling. And my dad walked down the hall, and he's like, oh, I'm like, Dad, just, you know, make him comfortable and like say, get out, go away. So my dad did that. And, you know, he refuses to look in the kitchen when the light is off. And he has some behavioral therapy, just because they say he's behind a little bit in his development. So the therapist came to the house, and they were sitting on the couch, and he looked into the playroom, and I have a 1-year-old daughter as well. And he was sitting there, and he just had this blank stare, staring in the playroom, and he just started babbling. And then my daughter went over there and started doing the same thing. And it was like, he would babble, then stop, and then wait for like a response, and just like talk. And then me and the therapist both looked at each other. I go, did you just see that, or was that me? He said, no. And he's like, no, I saw that. That's weird. That's never happened. He never does that. So I told my dad about it. My dad's like, oh no, he probably just has an imaginary friend. I go, no, I'm pretty sure if he had an imaginary friend, you know, it happened more often. It doesn't happen often. And then just yesterday, I was at work. I work overnight at Walmart, which I could tell you some stories too. I got home, and my dad was telling me that, you know, recently he's been hearing tapping when he sits in our room when both my husband and I are at work. that he hears tapping all around the room when the TV's off, so he keeps the TV on, and then when he woke up, the TV was off, so do we come home and turn off the TV? And they told him no. And then he says, oh, well, in the middle of the night, I felt Frankie, that's my son, being pulled off, like being tugged off the bed. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no. And he says he reached over and grabbed his arm, and he felt a hand grasping my son's arm, trying to pull him off the bed, and that my son was like squiggling around so he wouldn't be pulled off the bed. So it's just to the point where if it's affecting my son to the point where he doesn't sleep and it scares him, like, I really would like some advice to know what to do. So that's the gist of what's going on. And I do have a lot of other stories that, you know, have happened to me personally when I was growing up. And maybe it's because when I was younger and because of now, I'm, you know, what I experience in the house that I live in currently with my husband and my in-laws, maybe I'm a little sensitive to this and I pass it on to my son, which I really hope isn't the case, because that's like the worst feeling in the world when your son can't tell you what's scaring him or what he sees. Thank you guys. I love the show. Have a good night.
There's so much going on in that house.
Wow.
I don't know that financially it's possible, but my advice would be to leave. Like, it doesn't seem like a healthy environment for her child. And maybe, you know, like, some of it, maybe you could explain it. It's his imagination, or, you know, you're pregnant and the hormones are crazy and you are having some kind of, what is it they call it, Braxton Hicks?
Braxton Hicks, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you are having that. You know, so some of it could maybe be explained. But if the dad, the granddad, said he saw his son getting pulled off the, her son getting pulled off the bed, that's alarming. And that's like paranormal abuse. And I think at that point, you got to protect your children. It bothers me.
And it sounds like to me that she might be pretty open to a lot of stuff too. My big concern of, you know, hey, let's get the hell out of this house, is I just wonder if it would follow her, and or no matter where they go, she's probably going to experience stuff. And whether that will then translate to the people around her experiencing it too because of her, I don't know. But I agree with you, Carol. Like, and I realize people have financial obligations and sometimes it's hard to just drop everything and get out. But if you're being physically manipulated by whatever's there, your best chance is just to get away if you can.
And what about, like, in the meantime, you know, reaching out to, I don't know, like a paranormal group, your church, somebody who can maybe come in and give you some advice with a blessing in your house or something. Because to me, that would be worth a shot, right?
Yeah, or even taking time yourself and going, listen, I know you're here, but we're going to put some ground rules down. It's like having,
right,
you know, like, for instance, Lisa lived with me for a while when she was looking for a house. And I had to say, Lisa, I know you're here, but we're going to have some ground rules about what happens in this house. You can do the same thing with energies, I think. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. In my case, it didn't work.
It didn't.
And she's like, I got my own damn rules.
That's right.
I am paying you money to stay here, so there. But because I don't think it would hurt. And sometimes I think, too, is by doing that, even if you have your pastor come in or a priest come in or somebody who knows about blessing a house, it's intention. And so once you kind of take control back, you know, it's like you're saying this with meaning and you mean it. I just think that that can empower you too.
Yeah.
Because if it's, once again, it kind of comes back to energy. If you are afraid of it and it's feeding off your negativity and you're being afraid and you're scared and it's, you're putting out weird energy, I would think there would be some things that would just love that.
Yeah.
But man, if they'd be messing with my kids, That'd be it for me. We have got to start saving up. We need out of here as soon as we can.
This is not a movie where you need to stay so you can get through the whole 90 minutes and advance the plot. If you're feeling afraid, if you're feeling like your family is hurt, get the hell out.
Did you notice, Lisa, that Carol said if it was messing with her kids? She told us she didn't have any kids. So what's the real story here, Carol?
That was so hypothetical. Didn't you get the part if?
Oh, okay. I thought you said if it was messing with my kids
that I don't have.
Then the correct way to say that was if I had kids and it was messing with them. Boom.
Well, it's just implied. I think y'all know me enough.
An implied if. Okay, I'm going to write that down. Implied.
And I actually have, my kids are laying on the bed behind me. They got four legs, don't they?
Well, and if something was messing with those kids, your furry kids.
Oh my God.
That would be it, right?
Yeah. If I felt like my pets were threatened.
Yeah.
I'd be out. Like, even if you were living with someone who was mean to your pets, I got to go. Like, I can't be here with you.
Right. Oh,
I don't know, but that story was intense. I feel for her, but I do think she needs to get out of that situation.
I find it interesting that her children were both babbling at something that they could not see. Children are so open and can see so much more than they can.
But they also have very active imaginations and they babble at things that aren't there all the time. You know, they're having tea parties and pouring tea for people who aren't there. And I don't think that's weird. I kind of think that's adorable.
Or are there people there? I assume there are no people there. Is there maybe real tea that you can't see?
It's like, is there tea in your teapot? I don't know. I'd be leaving if I was her. Any way I could get out. So if you have a ghost story, we would sure love to hear it. It's super easy. You can call us at 855-853-4802. Leave us a voicemail. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like, you could become a premium subscriber. Get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.